أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ والسماء والطارق وما طارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر
والسماء والأرض ذات الصدع
وما هو بالهزل. السماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل. إنهم يكيدون كيدا. إنهم يكيدون كيدا. وأكيد كيدا. إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا سيد الخلق أجمعين حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. First, I would like to say taqabbal Allah a'malakum to all those who were able to participate in today's protest against the Zionist regime and their backers, the United States. It was held outside of the federal building to send a message to the establishment in this country that whatever happens and whatever the Zionist regime does is also your crime, and we expect that you, as part of your responsibility, not only stop supporting the Zionist entity and the Zionist regime, but also it is your responsibility to join the masses of people who want to dismantle that regime and are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And that is definitely the case. That isn't a slogan as stating simply a want or a public demand in that wording, but rather it really is telling us and reminding us that it will be free. It will be free. This is definitely going to happen, inshallah. So taqabbal Allah, those who were able to go, I wasn't able to make it. Inshallah, those who were able to make it, it is considered a hasana and a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the believers, the muqawama is strong. They have learned the message of Islam that the killing, or the dying, rather, I should say, of those women and children in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Al-Quds al-Sharif, on the Lebanese border, the Lebanese came forward and they sent a strong message, and it's really, it shows you the type of people these Zionists are. These were unarmed. They could have brought arms and they could have done things there. They were unarmed. Yet the Zionist soldiers shot them. Some of them, I know one particular brother was martyred there. There's a lot to say about all of this. I don't want to get too caught up with everything and just have a big mess of different points, everything getting lost. The believers there in the muqawama, resistance, while they understand that their women and children and anyone dying, and the numbers are getting close to 200 now, that's not a good thing for the Zionists, who are the perpetrators, who are the criminals, who are committing this. But for those, for the muqawama, for the believing brothers and sisters in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Al-Quds al-Sharif, they understand it to be bad for the perpetrators. They understand it to be great for them. They have learned the message of the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They have learned and understood that. So while we condemn all the criminal activities of the Zionist regime, which starts with them just being there and being a political entity, Their very being is criminal. And the constructions of their buildings on Palestinian land is criminal. Kicking Palestinians out of their homes is criminal. Gassing them, taking their water, stealing everything they have, all of that is criminal. And above all, taking lives is criminal. All of that is condemned on their part. But for the believers to be strong and steadfast and to take all of this and say, Ya Allah, we will still continue to resist. We will not give in to this madness that the Zionist regime wants. And we, outside of Palestine, should know that we owe Palestinians, because Palestinians are on the forefront of fighting. They're in the front line fighting the greatest enemy of Islam. And if they were not fighting, they wouldn't have fought. We would have Zionist control. The way you see in Palestine, in our cities, Karbala, Najaf in Kufa, Samarra, these cities would be in part of their territory. And the same behavior you see from Zionist soldiers in the occupied lands of Palestine would have been happening in those areas, in Syria, in Jordan, in Mecca, in Medina, in Egypt, at least between the Euphrates and the Nile. That's the area that they had aimed to have an official governmental presence, because otherwise it's their influence, lobbies and what have you, the Zionist bankers, the global network of Zionists. The Palestinian people are on the front lines. They are battling the Zionist regime even when these types of battles aren't happening. Their very persistence in living in those areas under those harsh conditions, while they go fishing or any occupation that seems ordinary to us, choosing to do that inside Palestine is fighting and combating the Zionists. The Zionists want them out. Get lost and go wherever. We don't care. Just get out of here. The ones who choose to be there. Every day is jihad fi sabilillah. And we should understand that, and we owe them. I want to remind us something because of the recurrence of this. Now, that's for those who don't understand that it's a constant thing. It's not a recurrence. It's constant. There's a difference between the two. Those who look at it as a recurrence are like, okay, well, this is another outbreak. There's bombers, or there's jets going and bombing Gaza, and there's killings in other cities. Palestinians are being murdered and their homes are being stolen and so on and so forth. A big thing like this, a war, it happens every couple years, every few years. There's something that happens, and so that's considered a recurrence. And this has been going on for decades. The correct understanding is, as we were saying earlier, every day is jihad, because it is. It's not only when these so-called wars break out. These are battles. They're not wars. The war has been on. But because it has dragged on for so long, we need certain reminders. I mean, we hear it. We hear, for instance, the believers who are listening to the leader. The leader is translating the Quran in an understandable language when, for example, he says in 25 years, you will not be here. This was said a few years back, maybe five, maybe even more years ago, that the leader mentioned. 25 years from now, you won't be around. This is telling us, or translating based on the conditions, what the Quran has mentioned. But it's important that every now and then we remind ourselves of the Quranic concept. What was recited tonight of the Quran is Surah At-Tariq. I strongly recommend all of us to spend some time thinking about reading first, trying to get an understanding of what these verses literally say, and then think about, reflect on the meanings, and try to relate it. Towards the end of the chapter, the earlier parts of the chapter are reminders, warnings for those who have not already accepted Islam, and the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance that He has presented, doing the right thing and avoiding the wrong things. There's warnings there, reminders of there being an afterlife and God being capable of it, and then reminders that the Quran is not a joke, it's not just something out there, but rather, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. It is a word that distinguishes, it tells you, it differentiates and distinguishes between right and wrong, prosperity and damnation. In this life and in every aspect of one's life, this is what distinguishes right from wrong. If you go by it, you are moving in the right direction, you're thinking right, you're doing right, and if you don't take it on board, then you're going to be in error on all the ways that you don't go by the Quran is. Then it says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. This, I don't think we need to really explain this too much. Literally, it says, they yakidun. Kaid means to plot. There's another word that more people are familiar with, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. That's another verse. Makr is also, it's a hidden plot. Kaid is similar, it's the planning. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. They're plotting and planning. And when it says yakidun, it means they're planning. The kaida over there, it repeats that word, and that is the expression that says this is a serious plan. Okay, they're planning very seriously. That's one of the ways that we could word it in English. There's probably better ways that I can't think of right now. Translators, I guess you can look at translations, but I'm trying to explain, not just put a word there. So, innahum yakiduna kaida. Look at the planning of the kuffar. And how they don't give up. If you look at the plans for establishing the Zionist state, it goes back before the turn of the 19th century, before we entered the 1900s. The planning goes back to that time, according to the records that are available. And I don't know if it was there before that, and whose evil mind it came to first, Theodore Herzl, an Austrian Zionist that is considered at least one of the main people behind the whole idea of Zionism and having a Zionist government that officially rules over part of the world. And then they decided for it to be, they finalized it, and it was pretty clear they're going to go for Palestine. But anyway, that planning starts before we enter the 1900s. So it's over a century ago. Okay. You see the official announcement made of what they call the establishment of the Zionist state, Israel, in before 1950. Now we are in 2021. As you can see, despite the advancements of the Muqawama and the resistance led by the government of resistance, the Islamic Republic, and all the believers who have joined the cause of resisting kufr and tughyan, rebellion against God, and against people, those who've joined that cause, they are part of it in the form of organizations, armed organizations like Hezbollah, like Hamas, like Jihad al-Islami, like Ansarullah, like Hashd al-Sha'bi, like the Syrian movement, like Fatimiyun, like Zainabiyun. All of these are part of the movement of the Muqawama, the resistance because of their work, obviously what they had initially planned has not taken place. The point that I'm trying to make right now, we're explaining, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. Their plotting is very serious. They don't give up. With the expansion of this so-called Zionist state, or what they call Israel, they haven't given up. MBS is part of the new figures that have joined and aligned themselves, fools that think that this project is going to help them. They don't realize shayateen abuse you. They don't even use you. They abuse you. Anyone, even each other. That's what the Quran tells us in Surah Al-Hashr. They abuse each other. One of the legitimate theories that has been researched, and whoever agrees with it, has seen the evidence, can agree with it, whoever hasn't, at least keep it as a possibility in your mind, check it out. The whole Holocaust was a Zionist plot against the Jews that were not Zionists, and they used it to get the world to agree for them to have, to formulate public opinion, manipulate public opinion in that way. So they used their fellow Jewish people, and they got Hitler to do that. It's researched, evidence has been presented. I'm convinced. I think others should look into it and see what the situation with that is. They don't care about anyone. That's how shayateen are. Anyway, back to the point. MBS, Mohammed bin Salman as they call him, and these other nasty, foolish, I really don't know what to call them. They're very dirty in their language, very offensive towards Muslimin and Mu'mineen and great people, and they suck up more than anyone else to the Zionists and to the Americans. In Saudi Arabia, you see them, this new generation. I don't even want to, they're so small and tiny. MBS is just a symbol for all of them. All those midgets, political midgets, bankrupt fools that are taking their entire dynasty bankrupt, literally financially there, because mentally they're already bankrupt. And in every other aspect, they're already bankrupt. They just have a lot of money because of the God-given oil they're misusing. They're stealing it from the Arabian and Muslim people of the region. They steal it, and with all the theft and all the stealing, they're going to still cause themselves and their dynasty to go bankrupt in the near future. But they're getting these fools, along with the other fools of the Khalij, that think they're smart now. The new generation thinks that they're big shots in Emirat. He's ugly, foolish fools of the Khalij, so-called governments and states. They're getting these guys to say that we are okay with the Zionists. This is all part of the project that they started over 100 years ago. Maybe it's getting close to 150 years of their planning. In Nahum Yakiduna Kaida, or regarding the revolution, their CIA agents, Mossad agents, were helping Savak before the revolution to make sure they destroy the whole religious backbone and the spine of Muslimin in general, in Iran particularly, the Hawza. They tried to do that before the revolution. And with Imam Khomeini specifically, they tried to get him out of and get him to not to continue and pursue this. They tried everything. Before the revolution, there's a lot of measures they took. When the revolution succeeded after a few months, they started plotting against it. For 42 years or so, they have been plotting and planning against the Islamic Republic. They have been defeated over and over and over and over. The thing is, has it stopped? No, that's what this word. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. They keep plotting. They assassinate Haj Qasim and Haj Abu Mahdi. before that they had assassinated others. They are the ones responsible for the assassination of Shahid Mutahhari, for the assassination of Shahid Beheshti. It's all there covertly. They're the ones responsible. They've had all these assassinations. Did it succeed? No. But did they stop? إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدُ Very serious in their planning and plotting. They keep going. And they don't give up. They keep going. That's what we see, right? With regards to the Palestinians. When we're discussing what the believers and the Muqawama is doing, it's important to see their work and how they have defeated. Right now, we're focusing on the Zionists themselves. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا They keep plotting. God knows how many plots have been there, in what ways, who's been involved. They've gotten entire organizations that were armed against the Zionists to mellow down and to go to Oslo and to make an agreement with the Zionist state after all the shuhada that gave their lives to protect Palestine. Some of those leaders over time, they lost their stamina and the whole organization gave in to accepting Israel as a state, which doesn't really exist. That's just a title given. And they've continued with Hamas. Do you think for Ismail Haniyeh and the other believers there to be steadfast on this path, do you think it's not a jihad? Do you think only the missiles being launched are the believers on the front lines that are launching those missiles and getting killed there are the only ones that are doing jihad, and the politicians of Hamas, the political figures like Ismail Haniyeh, who was probably once upon a time in the battlefield himself, but the likes of him, do you think it's not a jihad? Do you know how much pressure there's on them to agree to accept Israel as a state? How much pressure when something like this arises? How much pressure there is, and they use MBS, they use Saudi, they use Egypt, they use every possible means you could think of and things that we can't think of to pressure the political figures to agree to something for them to stop the mujahideen on the front lines. There's a line Imam Khomeini has in one of the, I heard this from some of the believers who were, it's recorded, it's online, you can find it. Some of those who were fighting in the war against Saddam, when Saddam was unleashed against the Islamic Republic. In one of those operations that they had, it became very difficult. There was contact between Imam Khomeini and the commanders in the war front, people who were commanding the believers. And the line that they were explaining how difficult it was and so on, Imam Khomeini told them to tell the believers that we are standing, you stand as well. Those believers are there, there's bullets coming their way. Imam Khomeini says, we're standing, you stand as well. He doesn't say, you guys stand, like he's relaxed back there. It looks like he's not in the battlefield. They are, but that's not the case. The battle he's dealing with is more, if the politicians give in, those believers on the front line can't do anything. They can't do anything. They would have to withdraw. They need the politicians to fight. If the politicians fight, if the leadership fights, if the leadership doesn't give in to the pressures, which are more difficult than bullets to take, the plots of the Zionists are very strong. Pressed very hard, so many different ways that we don't even know half of them. At the deception, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا Now, this is explaining that part of the verse, and we see it. We said it doesn't need too much explanation, but I guess we did because the comparison is important. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. God says, yes, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. But he follows up, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. I am also planning. This wording I find to be in ways... obviously, this and وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ are pretty much saying the same thing, different wordings, but that difference in wording has a different effect. The effect of this one is needed as well. We need that wording, we need this wording. That's why God has given us both. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. I also seriously plan. Then it orders the believers. This is the part that I find, this command that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our context is very, very much needed. We need it. It says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. We already explained. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. What is this a preface to, a prelude to? What are you trying to say after? After it says, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Give them time. Allow them time. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Why should we give them time? This doesn't mean don't fight, by the way. I'll try to come back and explain. مَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. Because I am giving them time. How much? رُوَيْدًا. A little bit. It's been 150 years. Yeah, I know, but it's a little bit. In the span of human, you know, in history, as some call it, or human life on earth and how things happen on that scale, It's short. It's a short period. أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. And the other way to look at it is compared to eternity. What is this? The life that the believers and everyone is going to have. Their reign over any part of the world. How long is it? How much does it last? There's been dynasties that have ruled for centuries. I don't know any that have ruled for a millennia. They've all ruled less than a millennium. But some have ruled for centuries, some even close to a millennium. Even that, compared to eternity, is nothing. It's nothing. That's to explain generally, because this is a general thing that we have. We're told to think of it in this way, or to see it in this way. Right? إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. They're doing their كَيْد. God says, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. And I'm doing my thing. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Give them time, because أَمْهِلْهُمْ. I'm giving them a short time. So we said it doesn't mean to not fight. What does this mean? It says... what it means is, don't worry, you're combating and that's going to be effective. It is effective. God gets rid of them through your efforts. All right? God is getting rid of them through your efforts. You see it's taking time? God is giving them that time. You give them that time too. That means, while you're fighting, don't get impatient because they're still plotting and they're still alive and they still seem to govern that part of the world. Don't worry. God is planning. أَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. This is part of God's كَيْد. This is part of His كَيْد. This is part of these fools that think their leaders... the Zionist leaders, who think that they are benefiting themselves. God is giving them that opportunity to foolishly dig their graves deeper and deeper, and their pits in hellfire deeper and deeper. These fools think they're doing something. And at the same time, create a condition for the believers to ascend higher and higher and to reach greater ranks in paradise. They're giving the believers who are fighting in whatever way they are, the with their own decision. This is part of the kaid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This time that it's taking more of them, whoever wants to join that foolishness, and however deep they want to go, give them that time, let them go deeper. On one hand, by the same deed, they are creating a platform of ascension for those who choose to resist. And the longer this takes, the more people who have that will, that desire, that fervor, that want to get closer to Allah, to ascend with the platform of jihad fi sabilillah, for them to join. Is that a bad thing? One of the things that when the war in the Islamic Republic was over after they accepted Resolution 598 of the Security Council of the United Nations, for the mujahideen that were on the battlefield, those who were fighting, I remember, I think the clip may be found online as well, Ayatollah Khamenei meets families of some of the shuhada. And in that, he says, and there's a number of clips that show this, that it's unbelievable that your children, for us, it's just hard for us to believe and accept, come to terms with this reality, that your children went and sacrificed their lives, were able to acquire the rank of shahada, but now that gate is closed for us and we can't join that. It's over. That's the way the mujahid thinks. So if this gate is left open for those who want to join it, is that a bad thing? This is the kaid of Allah. Give them that time. That time is going to cause them to dig their graves deeper and move down the pits of hell, while with the same deed, they're creating a platform, allowing more mujahideen, more believers to join that jihad fi sabilillah. And God has repeatedly mentioned, first of all, right here, it says, Amhilhum ruwaida. It's a short time. It's going to come to an end. In other verses, there's a different wording. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has general lines saying, for instance, Kataballah la'aghlabanna ana wa rusuli. God has already written, this is what he has written. It says, Kataballah, God has written, la'aghlabanna, I will most surely, aghlab, which means I will overcome, I will prevail, I will defeat. Ana, repeat it again, saying, I will, wa rusuli, and my messengers. God's messengers live through their message and through the Imam of our time. The Imam of our time is alive and he's involved in this. And he is, for those who want to believe, those who don't want to believe, the leader of this resistance is really the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, Imam Mahdi Salamullah Alayhi. وَرُوحِ لَهُ الْفِدَىٰ. He's the leader of this resistance. It's just that he's not seen. His representative is seen. So that's, with the Qur'anic, not in the sense of being a prophet. There's no Nabi, إِنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَ بَعْدِ. Okay? But Risala, according to the Qur'an, is not limited to Nubuwwah. There are people that are considered Rasul. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Rusul, those Rusul, according to the accounts that we have, clearly they are the disciples of Jesus, and disciples of Jesus are not Anbiya. They were clearly not Anbiya. The Quran makes that very clear, yet they are referred to as Rusul. Three Rusul, sent to a people. Those are three disciples of Jesus. So Risala, in that sense, means someone who is sent with a mission, according to the Qur'an and clear ahadith and ziyala jama'a kabira and so many different clues, the risala of the Prophet, the mission of the Prophet continued through Ali ibn Abi Talib and his offspring, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, all the way until Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. The risala of the Prophet continues. لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. This risala of the Prophet will prevail. And that's also mentioned in the Quran.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. It will happen. The Quran repeatedly mentions, most definitely, victory is with God, and whoever joins God's message delivered by any of the Anbiya, that is his actual message, not this fabricated garbage. They say, oh, we're here in Palestine because this is our promised land. Excuse me, stop misinterpreting and lying about what God has said. God has never said that. Never. God never. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always commanded to justice, not to injustice. This is all injustice. All these lies that are there. So, the reminder is this, that we need to hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, they are plotting, I know, I am plotting, you should know this. What they are doing, even their plotting, is part of God's plot and plan. Therefore, give them the time. You work hard, but when you see it takes long, then know that that's, despite your efforts, it's taking long. That's the time that God has given them. Be okay with that. Let it get prolonged. Yes, it will take time. It's not an overnight thing. We're not going to liberate Palestine overnight. It didn't form overnight. It's going to take time, but it's definite. It's definite. And the last thing regarding that is that the signs are telling us that it's near. One of the clearest signs is this divinely guided leader of ours, Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him and prolong his life, has said that you're not going to be around in 25 years. So that for anyone who is not able to gather the data regarding the Zionist regime and the Muqawama and the comparison and seeing when the downfall will occur, this great divinely guided man has said you won't be around in 25 years, and that's the clearest sign that we can find. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us learn all the messages of the Qur'an, including these messages. Sometimes the reason why we say it's necessary for us to remind each other of these teachings from the Qur'an is that sometimes our analysis, even if we're on that path and we do see the injustice of the Zionist state and we want to go against it and so on and so forth, our thought process is not guided, is not enlightened with the Qur'an. It's based on different things we hear, and therefore it fluctuates. Sometimes we feel more passionate, sometimes we feel more hopeful, sometimes we feel hopeless, sometimes we feel at loss, sometimes we feel, why are we doing this? We fluctuate, and God forbid, like some people just lose hope, like those movements that we mentioned, that were fighting the Zionists. They were considered the top leaders against the Zionist state. Yasser Arafat was that. That's how he was against the Zionist state. But eventually he mellowed down and he became that figure that agreed to the existence of the Zionist state and accepted it's like it's his. It's not yours to give away, to agree that part of Palestine is called Israel. That agreement means nothing. That signature means absolutely nothing. After fighting, we didn't fight there. What happens if it's not enlightened? When you see, compare that to Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the leader, spiritual leader of Hamas. He was martyred. They couldn't deal with him. They couldn't change him. They physically took him out. He was asked during times that were, the Muqawama was not as strong as today. And the Zionist regime was not as weak as today. They asked him, what do you think about the future of the Palestinian cause? He says, we're sure we're going to win this. Why? Because his thought and his heart is enlightened with the light of the Qur'an. And that's what we need. The light from the Qur'an guides us. It makes it clear. And none of these words and media and talks from different people, politicians, friends, enemies, none of that is going to be able to dim the light and the clarity of the Quran. We need that. We need that, inshallah. Allah help us stay on His path. We ask Him to enlighten our hearts and minds with the light of the Quran. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially those putting their lives on the line, and all believers that are coming out in support of the Zion, Hamas and Jihad al-Islami and the Palestinian people and the Mujahideen generally there. Ya Allah, please help and protect all of those Mujahideen, help and protect all of our ulama, all of the Muslim leaders that are trying their best sincerely and genuinely to be on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who are wavering, Ya Allah, bring them back to the right path so that the believers don't get misled with their wrong leadership. And those who You deem unworthy to be guided, remove them from positions of leadership so that the Muslim Ummah can be relieved of their deception and their misguidance, inshallah. Ya Allah, protect and prolong the life of our ulama, our maraja, above all our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who left this world. Ya Allah, grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Ya Allah, relieve all people of this pandemic. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lastly, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد بسم الله